Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Well, good morning, guys. What day is it again? Oh, good. It's Wednesday. Well, happy Wednesday. We have the opportunity this morning once again to be in the book of James, to continue to work through our series entitled The Real Deal. What does it mean for us to be an authentic, a real follower of Jesus? And so James has been walking us through, and this morning we are in chapter 3. Yeah, all right. Yeah, James chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. While you're doing that, I want to talk to you about some well-known movie quotes. So I'm going to read a quote, and I want you to shout out what movie this line is from. We'll start off perhaps a little easier, and then maybe get a little harder. All right, here we go. You ready? So I'll read a quote. You tell me what movie it's from. There's a snake in my boot. Toy Story, that's right. How about this one? You sit on a throne of lies. You smell like beef and cheese, right? Yes, that is Elf. How about this one? May the force be with you. Pretty easy, right? Or this one. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Yes, that is The Wizard of Oz. How about this one? I'll be back. Terminator, that's right. Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'll be back, right? Or this one, keep the change, you filthy animal. Home Alone, that's right. And then in the second one, that same guy says, Merry Christmas, you filthy animal, and a Happy New Year, that's right. All right, one more. Let's see if you know this one. This one's the hardest one. I love you most ardently. Pride and Prejudice, that's right. Mr. Darcy, I love you most ardently. Very boring, I mean good, love story. All right. Now, I shared these with you, these movie quotes, because I wanted us to understand that words have power, don't they? Whether it's a favorite movie quote, maybe it's a favorite song that gets stuck in your head, words have power. And so this morning, we are going to be looking at James chapter 3, and James is going to inform us, teach us about the power of our own words, our tongue. And so go ahead, we're in James chapter 3. I'm going to switch out mics here real quick. Let's give it up for Cole.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
So we are in James chapter 3, and this morning we'll be talking about addressing the issue of taming the tongue. Let's read verses 1 through 12 together. Here's what it says. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder.
wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of reptile or reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. And so we're going to look at this passage this morning about controlling our tongues, the words that we say, in four sections. In the first section, he opens in verses 1 and 2, describing the consistent tongue. He starts out with a warning. He says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." He gives a word of caution that if you are in a position where you are instructing others in spiritual things, you better be cautious, because what you say has great influence and power, and you will be judged accordingly. This is a strong message for me, isn't it? I'm up here in the morning and at night instructing you in the Word of God. I'm going to be judged by God for what I say. I must be very careful that I'm not teaching something that is false. I must be very careful to choose my words carefully. Your cabin leaders and camp aides are in a similar position. They are leading you in spiritual matters. That means their words matter. And so this is a very important challenge for anyone who would be a spiritual leader, a teacher, that you must be careful what you say. And then in verse 2, James says this, "For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body." That a sign of maturity, a sign of wisdom, a sign of consistency in your walk with Christ can be measured by the words you say. That if you can control your tongue, you can become a mature follower of Jesus. That this is one of the primary ways that your faith in Christ is measured. What are those words that come out of your mouth? And he says, if you can control that, he uses the word perfect. Again, this is the idea of wholeness or completeness or maturity. If you control your tongue, you are mature. So this is a great lesson for us to consider. This is his major thesis as we begin to unpack the message this morning. I'm reminded that just a few verses earlier, we were challenged in James chapter 1 that we be quick to hear, slow to speak, right? Again, James is emphasizing control over our tongues. Then he goes on to give some tongue illustrations to show us the great power that a tongue has. The first illustration he uses is the example of a bit in the mouth of a horse. A bit is not something that's super big, but it goes inside the horse's mouth. It's attached to the bridle and the reins so that when you pull, right, it turns the horse's head to make it go in the direction that you want. That's how a bit works. In the same way, what he is saying about our tongue is that while a bit brings the whole animal under control, this large horse that is way bigger than we are, so too does our tongue, even though it's much smaller than us, it can bring ourselves into control. Your tongue has great power to control your whole person, whether for good or for evil. Next, he uses the example of a ship's rudder. Although ships can be massive and deal with great storms and strong winds, they're steered by such a small rudder that determines which direction that ship is going to go. And so here we see the great change that your tongue can produce. Again, your tongue is powerful. It can produce great change. It can change a whole ship's direction. Again, for good or for evil. And then the third illustration he uses here is that of a fire. A small spark can set a whole forest ablaze. A couple years ago, I was on a service trip with our seniors in high school at the school that I was teaching at, and we went to Tennessee. But while we were there, there were these massive wildfires that were started from one person who was camping. They had cooked with hot coals, and they had not disposed of them properly, and those hot coals ended up catching a massive amount of land on fire. We actually had to evacuate where we were staying. It was a pretty scary situation, but such a huge fire that started at such a small source. And so too it is with the tongue, that your tongue can produce great damage and harm if you allow it to. After he gives us these illustrations, he reminds us how untamable, how uncontrollable the tongue is. Look at verse 7. It says, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." What a great reminder how uncontrollable our tongue really is. How immediately we tend to speak when we have a thought in our mind. And it's so easy to just blurt out whatever we're thinking in that moment, even if it's super harmful. Instead of pausing and being slow to speak. And so we cannot bring our tongues completely under control. And so you and I need the Holy Spirit's help to do this. We need the Word of God to challenge us, to encourage us, to help us. We need people in our lives that can come alongside and point out when we've misused our tongue. Because we cannot tame it on our own. And then the last section we have, James talks about, and this is perhaps the most challenging of all, the fact that our tongues are often hypocritical. Listen to this. "With our tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so." We just had a moment where we are singing worship songs of praise to God, Yet I wonder if any of us will be mean to our cabin mates during free time. I wonder if any of us gossip or lie or speak boastfully about ourselves so that we are harming others, even though here in chapel, in church, at youth group, we're singing praises to God. It's a strong warning, isn't it? And then he gives more illustration, this beautiful illustration of a spring. Can it pour forth from the same spring fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree bear olives? Of course not. Can a grapevine produce figs? Of course not. Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. And so really what he is saying is, you may be blessing God with your mouths, but if you are at the same time cursing others who are made in God's image, then the reality is those praises to God don't mean anything. They're worthless. Because your words are revealing where your heart truly is. Strong warning. So our big idea for this morning. Our tongue has tremendous power to do great good or great harm. We should glorify God with our tongues. Now listen, it doesn't take long for us to rattle off sins that we often commit with the tongue, right? Swearing, making fun of someone, lying, gossiping, right? Being prideful and boasting with our tongue. There are so many things that we can list. But I want us to think about for a moment the great good that you can accomplish. It's not enough for us to say, well, I don't swear and I don't lie, so my tongue's under control. The reality is that James is calling us to something better. He is calling us to use our mouths, the words we say, for great good, not just not harming others. I mentioned a couple of days ago, I think, about me not really following God's call in my life to pursue full-time ministry during my high school years, and how I had almost died, right? I had a little stroke episode. It was pretty scary. But then I applied to go to Bible college to pursue ministry and God's call in my life. Well, it was there at Bible college that I met two men who totally changed my life. I mentioned the first night that my parents are divorced. I did not grow up in a very strong, super spiritual home. My mom did take us to church, but we weren't really committed. We went for a Sunday morning service and then left. We didn't go to Sunday school or Sunday night or anything like that, right? We were just kind of checking it off the list. Even at home, we really didn't have spiritual conversations. And so I walked into Bible college without ever really having a strong spiritual mentor in my life. Someone who could come alongside and encourage my walk with God. Well, that changed when I got to college. Two men. One was my dorm leader. His name was Shane Miller. And the other was a professor and also my golf coach. His name's Dwight Peterson. And both of those men began to use words of encouragement to me that I had never really experienced before. Now, Dwight was a little more blunt with what he said. He told me the truth. When I was making dumb decisions, he would basically say, Matt, that was a dumb decision. Thank you, Dwight. I needed that. Shane was a little more gracious, you might say, but both were exactly what I needed. I needed men in my life who were willing to use their words to encourage, exhort, and build me up. And their influence, their words, drastically changed the course and the trajectory of my life. God used them and the power of their words to have such an impact on me that my life has truly never been the same since. And so we can think about, okay, I'm not swearing and I'm not lying and I'm not gossiping, and that's good. Those are good things. But what good are you accomplishing with your words? I mentioned a couple of times now that I spent 7 years teaching at a Christian school. I was the director of spiritual life, and so I taught the middle school and high school Bible classes. I was in charge of our chapel services, spiritual days, you know, those types of things. I basically oversaw the spiritual development of our students. And I would get asked all the time, Mr. O, that's what they called me. My last name's Alec, Mr. O. So how can you tell if our school is doing well spiritually? I said, it's very simple. All I would have to do is be like a fly on the wall, be invisible, and listen to what students talk about at lunch. What they talk about would tell me where we are as a school. Do they spend time gossiping, talking about other people? Do they spend their time complaining about a certain teacher or an assignment? Do they only talk about sports and music and video games? Or do they actually at lunch take time to talk about God, who they would claim would be the most important person in their life? Do they ever at lunch say, hey, this is what I read in my Bible this morning? Or, hey, can you guys pray for me? I'm really struggling with something. Would they ever sit around the lunch table and say, wow, here is what God is doing in my life? I think if we're honest, we can say that we do not talk about God enough. But if we're willing to talk about God, then God can do great works in our own hearts and lives. I want to share one verse with you from Paul, Ephesians 4:29, and then we're going to look at the example of Jesus as we wrap up today. Ephesians 4:29. Great verse. If you want to memorize, I would encourage you to do so, to contemplate this idea of taming the tongue. Paul writes, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Okay? So that's all the negative stuff. Do not curse. Do not lie. Do not bear false witness. Do not gossip. All of those things. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So not only is Paul challenging us to not do damage with what we say and corrupt ourselves and others, but with what we say, are we encouraging? Are we building up the people around us? Are we helping them with our words? Do our words accomplish good? Great question to ask. Jesus also shares with us about our tongues and their power. Matthew 12. Here's what Jesus has to say as we wrap up today. Matthew 12, starting in verse 33. Listen to what he says. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Whoa. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus says something very strong here, and he says that the words you say indicate what is in your heart, what you truly love and value. And so Jesus is begging us, examine your words. What do they say about you? Do they say that you love God and you love others? Or do they say that ultimately you really only love yourself? Strong words from Jesus. Our faith response. Twofold. We must keep our tongues from evil. Avoid those sins that we can commit with our tongues. But remember the other half. Use your words to encourage others, because your words have great power and they can do great good. So be encouraged, friends, this morning, that you have the power to help, to encourage, to lift up the people around you, so that when you sing songs of praise in chapel, the words you say outside of chapel show that your heart truly is in love with Jesus. So I hope that you are challenged, but also encouraged over the power of our words. Let's pray. God, we thank you for James. We thank you for this very important and practical lesson about the power of our tongues. Father, I pray that we would not be hypocrites, that when we sing and worship you in chapel, that our words outside of chapel would reflect what is truly in our heart. May we use the words that we speak today and moving forward to do great good rather than great harm. Father, may you be on our lips. May we share openly about what you're doing in our lives. May our words build up and not tear down. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.